Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you about the most spectacular shipwreck that I know of in Oregon state history. Lit up from stem to stern, this wooden steam schooner slammed into the rocks after its crew pointed it landward an abandoned ship. And you can still see its rusty boiler at high tide. You can go down there and look at it. This story was first published on April 11th, 2010, under the headline, Boiler Bay Named for Spectacular 1910 Shipwreck. All right, here we go. Just north of the picturesque little central coast town of Depot Bay is a place called Boiler Bay. It's named after what remains of one of the most spectacular shipwrecks in American history, that of the J. Marhoefer. The J. Marhoefer was a 175-foot, 600-ton steam schooner built at John Lindstrom's shipyard in Aberdeen in Washington's Grays Harbor in 1907. On May 18, 1910, she was still practically brand new and was coming back to her home port in Portland from a run to San Francisco when an assistant engineer working with a gasoline-burning blowtorch accidentally overpressurized it and blew the thing up. This likely would have been far less of a problem had the J. Marhoefer been an older coal-fired ship. She was not. She ran on oil, and the engine room contained enough of it spattered on the walls that by the time the badly burned assistant engineer recovered his wits, the whole place was on fire. Captain Gustav Peterson asked someone to open the valves and flood the engine room, but by then the heat of the fire had made the valve handles too hot to touch, and the fire had spread, nor could the engineer get into the engine room to shut the power off. The ship was still steaming along at a steady 9 knots, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. Peterson got her pointed at shore 3 miles off and gave the order to abandon ship. Clambering into a lifeboat and paddling away is something that's hard enough to do when the ship isn't humming along at full cruising speed, and being as a really hot fire was still blazing merrily below decks, the Marhoefer must have been warming up like a wood stove on a frosty morning. Still, the crew and the captain's wife, who was also aboard, got away from the ship safely and retrieved the ship's dog, which had been tossed overboard before the lifeboat was lowered. The boats made for Fogarty Creek, but a resident there was signaling to them with a red sweater. Interpreting this as a danger signal, it wasn't intended as one, the boats turned away and headed south, past Depot Bay, and tried to come in at Whale Cove. There, one of them capsized in the surf, and the injured cook was drowned while the other crew members swam to shore. This was the only casualty of this wreck. As for the J. Marhoefer, well, the ship, now thoroughly and spectacularly on fire, was steaming straight toward the rocks. Word had spread around the town of Depot Bay, and residents had come flocking to the top of the bluff to watch. Still under full power and trailing a column of smoke and fire like a volcano, the freighter piled onto the rocks with an enormous crash. The stranded vessel keeled over and burned fiercely for a time, and then she was ripped apart by a massive steam explosion that threw chunks of wood and iron in all directions. Fortunately, none of the spectators were hit, although today there's still a piece of iron pipe sticking out of the bluff above that probably came from the wreck. Today, the ship's boiler can still be seen from the highway at low tide. It can even be reached via a rough trail leading down from Highway 101 just north of the entrance to Boiler Bay State Park when conditions are right and the tide is extremely low, although the spot is, at other times, utterly inaccessible to anyone lacking the skills and equipment of a Navy SEAL. It's because of this rusty remnant that the little bay, formerly known as Briggs Landing, is now called Boiler Bay. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time and would like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get it all from our central website at offbeatoregon.com. The complete catalog of about 195 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds and RSS and iTunes, and also to the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include works by Nikki Price, William L. Sullivan, and also back issues of the Marine Review from 1907. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Carmen de Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. This podcast is proudly part of the Creative Commons. The license is Attribution Share Alike. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Well, that's it for today. Our next episode will be posting on Friday morning, and that's the story of the little undignified squabble over the Peter Iredale. It seems that I don't want to call him a disreputable salvage guy, because it could have been an honest misunderstanding, but I think the smart money is on him having been a disreputable scrap metal guy. Made a play for the Peter Iredale in 1960. Hardly anybody knows about this. It's quite a story. If you've ever seen the Peter Iredale, you know what we had at stake in this situation. And I'll tell you all about that. Look for that after about 6 a.m. on Friday morning. Until then, go ahead and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.